and it's a deep one. It's Percy, 7 yards deep, far side. Here he comes. Angles to the middle of the field, to the 5, to the 10. He gets a block at the 15. And Percy Harvin is loose to the 50, inside the 40, to the 30, and he is gone! Touchdown, Vikings!
It's Vikings Live at Winter Park, presented by Sports Authority on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Vikings Live at Winter Park is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, Continental Diamond, Quick Trip, and by Sports Authority, the official sporting goods retailer of the Minnesota Vikings. Now, from the Sports Authority studios at Winter Park, here's the voice of the Minnesota Vikings, Paul Allen.
Good evening and welcome to Vikings Live at Winter Park. I'm Paul Allen, and Leslie Frazier, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, joins us to talk about his first place team. And the interview is provided by Sports Authority, the official sporting goods retailer of the Minnesota Vikings and founding partner of Sports Authority Studios at Winter Park. Congratulations on the victory against the Detroit Lions. It's your first divisional victory, first road victory in the division since 2009. How did the guys handle the victory? Staying even keeled?
Yeah, I mean, we went up there and accomplished what our goals were going into that ball game. They realized next ball game is the most important game on our schedule, and that's how they're approaching it.
There are so many sneaky, schematic-related things to a football game that casual people like me don't pick up. But tell me if I'm right on this. Early in the game, down by the goal line, you guys showed an all-out blitz. You call it a zero blitz. Mm-hmm. Then you waited and you waited and you waited. Then it was fourth down late in the game, and instead of showing it, you came with it, finished it off, and turned over the Lions on downs. Is that accurate?
It's very accurate. You're exactly right. That was part of the design, to be able to show early and knowing that at some point you might have to come back to bring in the pressure. And it worked out to perfection because they were thinking that we were bluffing the second time around, but we weren't. You know, we brought the pressure. We got the sack by Everson.
Here come the Tennessee Titans, Mall of America Field, 3:25 for the kickoff. Pregame on the flagship begins at 1 o'clock. And their tight end, Jared Cook, there are many players on their team on whom I could begin, but Jared Cook, their tight end, pretty sneaky good. Mm. Not as popular as Vernon Davis or Jimmy Graham or those guys in New England. But why I bring it up is you've allowed touchdowns to tight ends in 3 or 4 games. And Brandon Pettigrew dropped one. I think mm-hmm. on that play you faked that zero blitz. Mm-hmm. Is it any kind of a concern into this game covering tight ends specifically in the red zone?
Not in that regard, Paul. I think for us it's always about points allowed. And where we are right now with points allowed is pretty good. So that overrides, you know, one guy having this many catches. But to speak of Jared Cook, he is an outstanding tight end, very underrated.
Is he really?
He's on our radar. You know, yeah. We're paying attention to him. We talk to our players about him. But to answer your question about a guy catching one or two passes, it's points allowed. It's always about points allowed.
More on the Titans coming up a little later with head coach Leslie Frazier. Specifically in the last two games, Leslie, the tackling and the angles taken, it just seems like things have become more buttoned up and mm-hmm. maybe more simplistic to lead to higher results. Is that accurate?
Well, we're not doing a whole lot of things different than what we were doing when the season began. We're just doing them better. You know, we're just continuously talking about what we have to do to get better as a team and on defense as we're speaking right now. But the emphasis is being placed, and it always has been, but we're just doing things better.
The defense, as a matter of fact, has been terrific ever since Reggie Wayne got that catch at Indianapolis. Was that moment an eye-opening moment for the defense? Because obviously that 20-yard grab was huge. Then Vinatieri beat you. Ever since that moment, against a Niners offense that was averaging about 29 points a game, and Detroit's passing attack's number one in the NFL, Linehan goes right after you early mm-hmm. with a 56-yard penalty with Calvin Johnson down the middle of the field. Since that Reggie Wayne moment, was that an eye-opener for the defense?
Yeah, that whole sequence got all of our attention. It was it hurt. I mean, to be on the field on defense and not to be able to come up with a play in that sequence, you know, it bothered everybody on defense, and our guys have met the challenge. They played much better. They were playing some good football, but we weren't playing very good situational football. And since that game, we've been in two situations where the defense was on the field at the end of the game and got off the field with a win. So we rebounded in some ways, but as you know, it's week to week in the National Football League. There are going to be other opportunities in similar situations.
It was an eye-opener for those around the NFL and fans locally last year when Everson Griffin lined up as a gunner and was leading you in special teams tackles right until Eric Frampton caught him at the end. Mm. This year, defensively, now he had four sacks last year, but he's playing more. You're moving him all up and down the line. Mm-hmm. Everson Griffin has just been terrific this year, Leslie.
Oh, he's off to a great start. He's really matured, Paul, both on and off the field. He's playing at a high level. You know, as you mentioned, we play him inside at defensive tackle. We play him outside at defensive end. We'll line him up in a two-point stance as a linebacker. He's become a much better player against the run also. He's not just a pass rush guy. So he's really come along, and he's become very valuable to our defense.
And speaking of guys who have come along, Christian Ballard is playing markedly more this year than he did last year. He's a second-year guy. How's he responding?
He's doing well. I think the rotation system that Brandon Daly along with Alan Williams have instituted has really helped our players to develop. I mean, to be able to get Christian the snaps that he's getting along with Everson, Fred Evans, I mean, it's just good for our defense, good for our defensive line. And Christian is another guy that we're counting on to do good things for us down the line.
How has Jasper Brinkley handled the nickel role?
You know, he's done very well. So, you know, we had him in a backup role, as you know, and in the time that Aaron was out, he showed us that he's more than capable of being a good pass linebacker, dropping in coverage, playing man coverage, getting the calls out. He's done a very good job.
When he sees a fast receiver come down the middle of the field, because with him playing nickel for you, given it's new, I would imagine offensive coordinators just want to test the waters to see what he can do. Does he flip his hips, so to speak, and run with these guys? Does he recognize stuff like that?
You'd be surprised. And it'll show up as we get a little bit further along here. He has the ability to be able to turn his hips and run with some speedy tight ends and even some of these wide receivers. And part of it is anticipation. And he has good instincts. He has a good feel for the pass game, much better than we originally thought. So he's doing some good things for us.
The Vikings are 3-1, tied atop the NFC North with the Chicago Bears. Leslie Frazier, Paul Allen, Vikings live at Winter Park. Chad Greenway leads your team in tackles. He has 55 tackles. Is this the most freely and dominating that he's ever played?
I think so. You know, when I look back at his career here with us and seeing the impact that he's having on every game. I mean, some of the plays he's making are game-changing plays. They're not just, okay, that was a good play by the linebacker. These are plays that get everybody involved. So I'd say this is the best football he's played.
In the Lions game, Leslie, did we see the best overall safety play we have seen in quite some time with Jamarca and Harrison Smith?
No question. We've been lacking guys who could make big hits in the secondary on crossing receivers or balls that are just thrown up in the air and are being able to come down with the ball or at least knock the ball away and, you know, guys just staying where they're supposed to be. To watch Jamarca and Harrison play as well as they did on Sunday, I mean, it just gives you some hope about our secondary in the future. And they are playing exceptionally well.
One side of it is you have one interception. It's Josh Robinson in the Niners game. The other side of it is you have 19 fumble recoveries since the beginning of the 2011 season. That's number one in the NFL during that time. Is that something that is taught? Is it natural? Because I know you're very prideful in it.
Oh, we talk about it all the time. We're always trying to strip the football away in practice. I mean, it's a constant, whether you're on the scout team or whether you're working with the first or second string defense. You are always grabbing at the football. And we're trying to put ourselves in position for interceptions. We were in position a couple of times in the ball game on Sunday. We just didn't come up with the ball.
Analyze Chris Cook's game. 16 starts now, zero interceptions. But that does not necessarily mean he's not playing well.
No, it doesn't. I mean, when you're a corner and you're doing a good job on your receiver, sometimes you're not going to get the opportunities that some other players may get. So Chris is doing a good job. He's tackling well. He's covering well. We're pleased with some of the things he's doing.
Is Christian Ponder giving you this year kind of what Alex Smith gave the 49ers last year? Excellent touchdown to interception ratio. It's 4-0 right now. Doesn't take too many chances and is very cognizant of where his receivers are.
Yeah, his decision-making, Paul, has improved so much, which is part of the reason we are 3-1. I mean, he's done a great job, as you mentioned, of not turning the ball over, really managing our offense, putting us in good field position, and creating some situations where Jerome Simpson, who was a new addition to our team, is able to make some plays down the field. But Christian's done a great job of really running our offense.
That second down call late when you were milking the clock at Detroit by Musgrave, that was a gutsy call. I know Jerome was singled against the rookie, and the rookie had troubles with him all game. That's still a gutsy call right there, don't you think?
No question about it. And the throw by Kristen and the catch by Jerome. That was not an easy catch or an easy throw. And great call by Bill. We needed it. It resulted in our getting better field position to be able to punt and pin them down and made it very difficult for them to be able to come back and win the game.
Leslie, at Detroit, all 21 of Adrian's runs eventually ended up between tackles. Now, we chatted with Adrian earlier, and he said there were a couple that were meant to bump outside, but for whatever the reason, it just didn't work out. Are you guys hesitant to sweep with Adrian or get him outside for any reason because of the knee?
No, I mean, we just saw some things game plan wise that we felt comfortable with, and we decided to go with that, and it produced great results. I mean, he had his first 100-yard game since his surgery, so it was the right thing for us to do, and there are going to be other times where we will want to get him outside, and we'll get him outside.
Tennessee is giving up a zillion points a game, but I hear the front seven actually is a pretty physical and tough bunch. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I mean, their front seven, they can get after you a little bit. We're going to have to make sure we get a hat on a hat because they can embarrass you if you're not careful.
How did Tennessee Tennessee running back Chris Johnson put up that big game against Houston?
Man, now that Houston defense is a good run defense, and for him to come away with 141 yards on 25 carries, I mean, that was an eye-opener for us. You know, I think up until that point, Paul, their highest total rushing was 39 yards in a game. And so to come away with that kind of production, that was pretty good. I mean, it tells you that Chris Johnson is beginning to find his form.
And Tennessee has some sneaky good skill position players. Not sure about Kenny Britt and his ankle, but Kendall Wright was a first-round pick coming out of the slot, leads him in receptions. Nate Washington and Matt Hasselbeck had a terrific connection together last year. Mm-hmm. And then if they block it up, Chris Johnson obviously is very fast. So obviously you don't sleep on anybody. But Tennessee has played four quality teams, including New England, Detroit, and Houston, all playoff teams from last year. Mm-hmm. Tennessee obviously in search of a victory. Tennessee has some explosive offensive players, correct?
Oh, yeah. We are well aware of what they're capable of doing. And as you mentioned, you look at their schedule. You know they played some tough opponents. And then having Matt Hasselbeck at the helm now, he's capable of doing some big things at the quarterback position. So we know that we have to prepare well and we have to play our best game of the season on Sunday.
Locker has a bigger arm than Matt and he moves better, but Matt has seen more than Jake. So I'm certainly not going to say it's not a setback going to the backup quarterback, but this is one of the better backup quarterbacks you possibly could have in the NFL.
Oh, without question. I mean, he started for them the entire season a year ago and led them to an 8-8 record. And, of course, he's had a long, distinguished career in our league. So this is a guy who we all have a lot of respect for. We know we're going to have to play well on the back end as well as defend what they do in the run game. But Matt Hasselbeck is a quality quarterback in our league.
Last one, Leslie. What is your Saturday speech theme or your Sunday before the game speech theme for the team, the 325 game against Tennessee? Any idea?
I think about a little bit more after that Friday practice, kind of evaluate the week and how the week went and what I need to say to them to make sure we're on point as we get ready for Sunday.
Do you have to come up with stuff like this for these guys? Because I know, you know, you leading it the way you do, you rely on talented individuals to do what they're compensated to do and be professional about it. So you're not a rah-rah guy as it is. Do you come up with stuff like that before games?
Before every game.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, and every Wednesday before we go on the field.
Excellent.
Monday, yeah, so it's necessary.
Good luck. Great work.
Thank you.
Leslie Frazier, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. Craig Johnson coached with the Tennessee Titans for many years. He's quite familiar with Nashville and these Titans coming to Mall of America Field. Adrian Peterson later and Craig Johnson next on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Vikings Live at Winter Park continues all throughout the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. We're still having fun. We're 3-1, and we're happy to be joined by quarterbacks coach Craig Johnson. Craig's very familiar with the Tennessee Titans, maybe not this version of the Tennessee Titans. Matt Hasselbeck will be the quarterback this weekend, but certainly some of the personnel would be quite familiar to our quarterbacks coach, Craig Johnson, who coached many years for the Tennessee Titans and relocated here into the 2011 season to be our quarterbacks coach, and he joins us now. Craig, Paul Allen, how you been?
I'm doing great, Paul. Really happy. We had a great start to our season there in September, and we have to see if we can carry it over into October.
11 seasons with the Tennessee Titans, your first significant job in the National Football League. What were some of your fondest memories?
Well, it was really a good time to go to Tennessee when I was able to go there in 2000. They had just come off the Super Bowl, a lot of the talented players, and it was a really good run that we had there for numerous years. It was good to see those guys come together, and we were in the hunt for the playoffs and the championship for a high number of those. A lot of fun and a lot of good players.
What was it like working with Coach Jeff Fisher?
Tremendous man, very organized, good motivator, breeded confidence throughout the team. When I arrived there, again, they had just come off the Super Bowl, but they had had to go through their stumbling blocks at that time before, too. They had had a couple of average seasons prior to that, but when I hit it, I kind of hit it at a high, and we were at a pretty good peak there for about 5 or 6 years.
And you'll get the St. Louis Rams later in the season. I know you don't break down Rams film at this stage, but I would imagine Jeff Fisher's influence with the Rams, given how organized he is, probably is getting them more squared away, correct?
Well, I would certainly think so. I know Coach Fisher and his background. He's done a great job everywhere he's been, and I'm sure that the Rams will benefit from his coaching. And when we get a chance to play them later on, we'll focus into that. But right now, we have our hands full with the Titans coming into town.
What are some of the most significant keys to becoming a successful quarterbacks coach in the National Football League?
Well, I think one thing that you certainly have to do is have some patience, the ability to teach, understand that every quarterback that you have is going to have a little different personality, and you have to find the right button to push on the guys. Some guys like to have you teach them. Some guys need to have you motivate them. Some guys are better in the classroom. Some guys are better on the field. So you have to find out what applies to each quarterback. Find out what can take them to their high level. Also find out what's important for them, and then try to do things to get them to reach that level.
What's different in working with your starting quarterback, Christian Ponder, this year compared to last year, Greg?
Well, I think the number one difference, I would say, is getting the chance to work with him. This season, we had a full off season. We had a chance to work on a lot of the techniques and fundamentals. That's what the basic thing that a quarterback coach is going to do. Make sure that his timing, his feet, his understanding of the defenses have improved, which it looks like they have. And you also need to be there and breed confidence in a quarterback, because the one thing that we always talk about in our room is criticism is a part of the position, and it's always coming. And there's always people out there that are trying to tell you how you do your job better. And so my job is to make sure I keep him up when you hit those storms in your playing time, which are going to happen, and you can just let it go, come back, and move on to the next play.
So in other words, if somebody comes at your starting quarterback, you're averaging 6.7 yards per attempt. We don't go deep down the field like the Saints or the Packers or the Patriots. Your response would be, yeah, but at the quarter, through the first quarter of the season, he's thrown zero interceptions, right?
I would say something along those lines, no question about it. My thing, again, is to make him understand that whatever it takes for us to win, whether he throws for 300 yards, 200 yards, or 150 yards, whatever it takes for us to win is the single most important thing. And then the next most important thing is to try to elevate the play of the offense to put us in a position to win every game. You always want to try to improve, but as the late, great Steve McNair and I talked about many times, stats don't matter. All that matters are the wins.
How about Steve McNair? What a gamer he was. You were privileged enough to work with him for years. He was just game. He was just a rock solid quarterback.
Yes, he was a tough guy. Never ever would take credit. Always took the blame. If the team did well, he gave credit to his teammates. If the team did a poor job, the quarterback's got to play better. I can still hear it from all those years I was there with him. So the bottom line is, as a quarterback, again, you're going to have a lot of variables, but you just have to be able to get through the rough parts, especially as a young player. And there's going to be adversity. That's what the game's all about. It's not always going to be perfect. You're not always going to feel perfect. There's great defenses in this league, and you just have to make sure you're able to bounce back from all the different things that are thrown at you.
Vikings quarterbacks coach Craig Johnson is on Vikings Live at Winter Park. And we have the Titans this weekend, Tennessee 1-3. Coach Johnson's Vikings, along with Leslie Frazier and the bunch, are 3-1. With Christian, is one of the key changes from last year, given he has experience now and he had that true offseason, which obviously was beneficial, Craig, when he breaks the pocket, he keeps his eyes down the field. Is that markedly different?
I don't think there's any question, Paul, that's helped him a lot. One thing that we really wanted to try to stress, we emphasized it somewhat during the offseason, and then when we saw a couple things early in the season, we even tried to emphasize that more specifically going into the San Francisco game. And Christian is a very coachable player, and he took that. Ran with it, and obviously it helped make a lot of plays that helped us win at that time. And so we're going to continue to try to use his feet for a positive, to be able to have hurt the defense, both stretching the field with his feet and with the ability to extend the play down the field.
Craig, how does Christian differentiate from other quarterbacks you've seen in terms of getting to the facility Wednesday for the first day of practice for the next game? And he's already well prepared. What's different about his preparation compared to some other quarterbacks you've seen?
Well, the bottom line is a quarterback should be early in and late out, and Christian has been that way since he's been here in Minnesota. I remember most of the times when I come in early, I see Christian over there having breakfast by himself. He likes to come in, get a real good feel, get even an earlier look at the tape as he's coming in, and I think almost every great quarterback that has that wants to succeed has that ability and the drive to make that happen. And Christian, there's no piece of information he does not want, and he is going to go out there and try to find it on tape. And if not, he's going to have a couple of questions for me and Bill Musgrave to make sure he gets it right.
Craig, how did the debut of Jerome Simpson help Christian Ponder's game? Even though the numbers weren't huge and you didn't get into the end zone against Detroit, it still was a game with zero interceptions. How did Jerome's debut assist your quarterback?
Well, I think Jerome has shown in the past when he came to us that he has big playability. That's just one more headache for the defense to have to worry about. And any quarterback would tell you a great running game, which we have here in Minnesota and going to continue to try to get better at, and having all-star receivers outside that can stretch the field helps make your job better, because now they cannot focus on one aspect of your offense. So Jerome gives us an added ability to stretch the field, which is always good, which forces the defense to have to cover the width and the depth of the field.
This may be the dumbest question you get all day, and if it is, I apologize. But when you get into the red zone, does Christian look for Kyle Rudolph too much? And I know Kyle's good, and he's big, and he's a tough cover for linebackers and safeties, but does Christian need to broaden it out a little bit when you get inside the 20?
Well, no, Paul, I don't think that's a dumb question. And I do know that Christian likes to throw the ball to Kyle, because he oftentimes, as a lot of quarterbacks in my past have seen, when you throw the ball to this guy, he catches it and things look good. So I think that's a good thing. But I think as Christian continues to get more and more comfortable down in the red area, that we'll have a chance to move the ball around. And Christian, again, has been tremendous about taking what the defense gives him. And right now they've been giving us Kyle a lot. When they do take him away, I think he's going to have an ability to get the ball to some of our other explosive players.
How's Joe Webb developing as the second quarterback?
Right now, I think Joe Webb's really coming along. I think he's done a really good job, as we had talked about in the past. He had not had a lot of time on task as a quarterback. He has really helped, and I think you will see that by the improved play of our defense. They are helped because Joe's playing at a high level and challenging them to play their best, and I think that carries over. And he, as well as Christian, he's not getting up publicity, but he understands that he's got to be ready at any time. And it's the things that, as a quarterback coach, that I see that the public doesn't necessarily see, that shows me that he's going to have a chance when his time comes. And I think he's going to show you something that you want to see too.
When Musgrave, the offensive coordinator, Joe Webb, Christian Ponder, and or McLeod Bethel Thompson get together between series on the sidelines, how does Joe help Christian?
Well, I think Joe is great because he's got another set of eyes for the field. He's going to all the little details that a quarterback can use, whether or not the backside end is chasing after a handoff, how much pressure they're giving outside versus inside, where the safety spins are going. Those are the little things I think that Joe can bring to the table. And I think those guys have a really unique, nice relationship, even though I know Joe Webb truly wants to play. Yep. That he is a huge support and huge fan of Christian's, and I think Christian has a lot of trust in Joe Webb. It's a great thing to see. as they develop with each other. So I know that as Joe would whisper something in Christian's ear, that's something that Christian is going to certainly listen to.
How do you expect the Titans to defend you? Is it a blitz-heavy team? Do they sit back in that cover two? What do they do?
They kind of mix their coverages. Jerry Gray, their defensive coordinator, has been through the league for a long time, and I think he kind of likes to plan for each opponent. He's going to try to take away the strength of what he sees, what the opponent does, and try to make them play left-handed. I remember hearing that term oftentimes when I was there in Tennessee. So they have shown some pressures. They've shown some man. They've shown some zone. They kind of mix it up and do a little bit of everything. So we're really going to have to be on our game to make sure we're sharp in execution versus their various defensive packages.
What's play left-handed mean?
What play left-handed means is if they know, for example, we really like to run to the our offensive right, for example,
yep.
What they would like to do is load up to where we run and force us to run left, or force us if we want to throw the ball to Kyle, they're going to take him away and make us use another receiver to beat him. Those kind of things. They really are big into trying to take away what you do best and make you do something that you're not as comfortable with. And the good thing for us is we've been spreading the ball around a lot, so it just allows a quarterback to allow somebody else to be the big player in that game.
McLeod, John, Baltazar, Bethel Thompson. $1 million arm, $1 million smile. How close is McLeod Bethel Thompson to contributing to into a National Football League game?
I would think that's still a process for McLeod. He's still trying to figure out how all this game goes. Obviously, having a great arm is a great asset coming in to the NFL, but there's a lot more of it than just having a great arm. And I think that McLeod is eager to learn. He's early in. He's late to leave. He'll throw relentlessly. He's a human jugs machine, and he'll just continue to throw. But I think it's a process for McLeod, and I'm hoping for his future, as happened with me with a couple other quarterbacks, that he just keeps improving week after week after week. And I think we'll all like where the results are going to be with him when it's all said and done.
Craig, excellent conversation. Hopefully you enjoyed it, and best of luck against your former team this weekend, okay?
Yeah, it's like Skull Bikes. All right, Paul, thanks a lot.
See you later, Craig.
All right, bye-bye.
That's Craig Johnson, quarterbacks coach for the Minnesota Vikings, and we thank him for his inclusion on Vikings Live from Winter Park, where we like to remind you to protect the football at Buffalo Wild Wings. It's football the way it should be. Play the VIP scratch game, and you could win a VIP experience. Buffalo Wild Wings discounts and more. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings. Beer, sports. Vikings and Titans shortly after 3 o'clock this Sunday. When we return, more analysis of the Vikings and the Tennessee Titans with yours truly, Paul Allen, on Vikings Live from Winter Park, all across the Minnesota Vikings radio network. Ponder under center, goes to Adrian, goes up the middle, leaps into the end zone. Adrian Peterson. I'd say that ACL's okay. Adrian Peterson is our guest on Vikings Live from Winter Park. Welcome back. How's the knee?
APA, the knee is feeling wonderful, man. It's feeling good.
As good as the season so far, right? Team's 3-1, and you ran for more than 100 yards last week against the Lions. Was last week the best you have felt all year?
I can say it was. You know, I say San Francisco, I think they broke me in. Mm-hmm. You know, I was able to break in during that game. And, you know, last week against Detroit, man, I felt amazing out there.
And San Francisco was like a boxing match for you, man. I mean, you had some threes, some fours, some fives. You got loose a little bit during the course of the game. But that was a game, Adrian, that seemed to personify just keep slugging, 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 and just grind it out against a good team, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's what my body needed, you know, that grind. And, to go ahead and knock the rest of the rust off. And that's how I came back, you know, during the week feeling great, and it showed in the game.
Now, in the Lions game, of your 21 runs, all 21 came between the tackles. Is that schematic because that was the best way to attack the Lions? Or are you guys still staying away from getting you wide?
No, actually, I want to say we had a couple, I think maybe two runs outside zone that we had in that game. And it just didn't work out the way we practiced it. So it definitely looked like an inside zone. But, no, you know, we're definitely trying to stretch the field as well, you know, when it comes to the run. to the run game.
And things got quite claustrophobic for you, and you're the best running back in the NFL in tight quarters, in congestion, mm-hmm. where you could just feel it, cut away from it, drag mm-hmm. somebody. You know, we saw that a lot in the Lions game more than any of the previous three games. Is that how you prefer to run, or do you like to hit something, mm-hmm. kind of suck everybody in, then have that patented Adrian Peterson cutback and get outside?
No, I like to feel it. I like to get in the groove of the game. You know, get out there and, you know, get in through those zones and press it. And, you know, we have options, you know, with different run plays we have. It's not just, bam, you know, follow this guy and go this direction. You know, it's leaving me with different options to make as I press the line of scrimmage. And it's been working out well for us.
Catching the ball out of the backfield a little bit too, specifically in the middle of the field. More comfortable with that?
Oh yeah, yeah, more comfortable. You know, I've been standing on Chris and Ponder every day in practice. Hey, you know, throw the ball to me on the check down. You know, I know I'm probably like your fifth read, but and whenever you're in trouble, you're in doubt, just know I'm going to be there for you. And he just started listening.
But how can you say you're the fifth read on anything? You ain't the fifth read.
hey, you know, sometimes it goes like that. So, you know, he's been doing a good job of finding the running back when, those defensive guys are doing a good job of covering, you know, our guys. And, you know, we're doing our job to try to make something happen after, you know, touching the ball.
But, Adrian, if you look at the options, you know, in 09 with Brett Favre, he was mm-hmm. able to stretch it with Sidney Rice. Yeah. You had an unbelievably good season. Percy was Rookie of the Year. Vasante Shenko had by far his best season in the NFL. If you look at the options this year, when defensive coordinators come into a game plan against the Vikings, it generally is like, okay, we got that creature in the backfield. Let's start there, spend 24 hours on that, and then kind of worry about everything else. But if you do it that way, which you obviously have to account for you, but Percy Harvin is looking like the best overall player in the NFL.
Well, no doubt.
Rudolph, 3 TDs. And now you bring Simpson back, and as you saw in that big second down late in the Lions game, if you single him near the sidelines and Ponder throws it up, he has a 40-inch vertical. He can go mm-hmm. get it. So you guys have legitimate options again.
Oh, yes, man. We have a lot of options. And that's what I love about this offense. You know, I feel good when I'm able to sit back and other guys are making plays. You know, you're not feeling that, you know, not necessarily pressure, but, you know, just, yeah, I guess you can say that. You know, you see Simpson. He's back in the mix, and he's been doing a great job. We got a great group of tight ends. Percy Harvin, you know, I was telling the media earlier that, hey, you know, this is probably the best player I've ever played with, you know, hands down. And then you got Christian out there, you know, tying things together. You know, so we are very explosive offensively. So I feel for defensive coordinators.
How much did the offseason for Christian Ponder help him, confidence-wise, knowing where the ball is going to go? And the one thing that, you know a thousand times more about it than me, but viewing it from afar, when Christian breaks the pocket and has to run outside, his eyes are down the field now, where last year it was tuck it away and run.
Yeah, I think it all just come to experience. You know, he got thrown in the fire last year and did a heck of a job with the situation. But going through OTAs this, you know, this offseason and, you know, being around those receivers and really getting that feel and that bond with them, that type of connection. And, you know, just getting smarter, understanding the coverages, you know, and the different schemes the defense throws at them. And he's been, you know, just focusing on it. I can tell, you know, from that point to training camp and now into the season. So, you know, when you rehearse like that, you have no other way to go but up.
Adrian Peterson is our guest on Vikings Live at Winter Park. I'm Paul Allen. Christmas Eve last year and subsequently the recovery process from early, from January through training camp, preseason, and where we are now. This may sound overly dramatic, but did it change you anyway? Did it change you as a person at all to remember that hit at Washington, feel it, and the what you had to go through to get back where you are now?
Yeah, I can say that I'm definitely – I've always been strong in my faith, but just even more so, you know, just going through this. You know, this is what I do, football. You know, just, I've been playing this game my entire life. So after that happened, ACL, the worst injury I've had, it gave me some time just to think back, you know, just sit back and think about things, not necessarily with football, you know, concerning football, but just in my life. So it was a lot of things that I had to patch up, a lot of learn from it. This entire experience just been a blessing to me because I came out better.
Your offensive line is not only looking like arguably the best overall offensive line in the division, probably the best that we've seen here since 2009. Pass protecting, run blocking. You guys put up 146 against San Francisco. That was phenomenal. You went for more than 100 against the Lions last week. Talk about the offensive line and the cohesiveness they have, specifically blocking for you.
Man, those guys are doing a heck of a job, you know, and guys are stepping in. That's been rotated around. You see Charlie, he's inside playing guard, you know, no complaints, and he's doing a heck of a job. Young guy Matt, you know, you got Sully who's tying everything together, you know, Fusco and Big Phil. You know, those guys are just got that. You could tell that they're jailed, and each week they just keep improving, you know. So I feel like my job is just to continue to encourage those guys and stay on them and know, you know, because as a running back, you get all the love, but we know who are the hogs up front that's really getting it done, you know. So we got to pamper those guys and, you know, congratulate those guys and stay up. Not just during the game, but during the week and practice too. And you see those guys feed off that.
And over the years, you've obviously been here since you won the Rookie of the Year Award in 2007. But Rick Spielman, the general manager, I think, has done a really good job over the last 3 years of bringing in guys, and this includes you, who legitimately care about winning and losing. I mean, people have lives outside of football, but there's just a group of people here who legitimately feel it when it doesn't go the right way, yet they stay even keeled when the team wins. Do you see it that way?
I do. I see it that way, and I feel like that's what it takes, you know, for a team just to continue to get through controversy, you know, and be able to rebound no matter what the situation is. So, you know, kudos to Rick for just doing a great job. And I can actually say that I've sat back and just looked at him. You know, he didn't know I was staring at him, but just like, you know, I'm seeing what you're doing. I'm seeing the guys you're bringing in, the type of talent, yeah, the type of mindsets, and I'm liking it.
Over the years, have you gotten to know Titans running back Chris Johnson?
Yeah, I know him pretty well.
Well, you came into the league in 07, won Rookie of the Year. 09, he goes for 2,000 and change. Remember when we had the who's better and why Chris Johnson and Adrian Peterson conversation? Yeah. Not you and I specifically, but people around the country. As I recall, it bugged you a little bit back then, didn't it?
Yeah, I really, you know, he's a great running back, and I have the utmost respect for him, you know, a home run hitter. But I don't, you know, just being honest, I don't, you know, just my track record here is just, it, you know, it doesn't match up. But, you know, like I told him, I talked to him face-to-face and over the phone, and I say, hey, you want to be the best? You know, he came to me, and he was like, you know, Adrian, I've been watching you. You know, this is from when he first got into the league, came into the league. You know, I've been watching you, and you inspired me, this, that, and another. I told him, hey, if you want to be the best running back to ever play this game or, you know, in this league, you got to focus on that and think that,
yeah.
You know. So I guess he grabbed hold of that.
You're 3-1, last one, home game this weekend against Tennessee. How good can you guys be this year? I'm not asking you to make a record prediction. I'm not asking you to say, Paul, we're going to win the division. But how good can you guys be this year? You're coming off a game where you didn't score an offensive touchdown. But in my football-loving heart of hearts, I don't believe the offense is going to be a problem for the balance of the year. Uh-huh. For whatever happened, it happened. You know, you had Percy from 105 and Marcus Sherrills and so on. But I really trust this offense over the body of the season. How far can you guys take this year?
I feel like the sky's the limit, PA. You know, and that, just being honest, just being a part of this season, how things have started, just seeing the focus and the dedication and the determination in the guys' eyes that I line up with, I like it. And, you know, last week was a perfect example. You know, offensively, we didn't feel like we really played as well as we could. But we had other phases, special teams step up, defense step up. And when you got three, you know, good phases that can win a game for you, you're already in good shape. You know, so I'm liking the group of guys that we're playing with. And Coach Frazier is doing a heck of a job of leading us.
You're fantastic. Thank you, Adrian.
All right. Appreciate it, Pete.
Adrian Peterson, running back for the Minnesota Vikings on Vikings Live from Winter Park on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. All righty now, deep stretch of Vikings live from Winter Park. We thank Leslie Frazier, Craig Johnson, and Adrian Peterson for joining us. And now we chat about the Tennessee Titans and the contest at hand between the Vikings and the Titans this weekend with Mike Wobshaw from Vikings.com, who, by the way, will join us tomorrow in Minnesota. It's the in Minneapolis, that is. It's the Friday football feast from 9 to noon with Paul Charchian and yours truly at Station 19 on the University of Minnesota campus for the feast. Check out the complete schedule at Vikings.com and via my show page, the Paul Allen Show page at KFAN.com. Hello, Mr. Wobshaw.
Hey, PA, what's up?
What's it like doing the video and editorial content for a first place website?
When you're 3-1, it's a lot more fun than when you're the other way around. So we've had a lot to talk about this year. We've had a lot of highlights. Guys are in a good mood. Chad Greenway was part of our pick six this week. That was a lot of fun. That's up there. We have Chris Cluey on the Wobcast. That is cool. Our live chats. I sit next to you and Bursich in the booth during games. We have live chats. There's 3,000-4,000 people on that, so it's a lot of fun on the site.
What are some of the underrated facets of Vikings football through the first four games that you appreciate?
I appreciate how the Vikings have played at home so far. They return home on Sunday, as you said, Mall of America Field against the Titans. The Vikings are 2-0 this year at home, and this is an opportunity for the Vikings to go 3-0 at home this year. The Vikings were 1-7 at home. We did not give the fans what they deserved to see last year at Mall of America Field. And for us to return to dominance, to be at the top of the division, a big part of that is playing well at home, and the Vikings have a chance to do that. And every game in the NFL is big. Our game next week at Washington is a big game. We're going to want to win that game, obviously.
Yep.
But to me, even though it's an AFC opponent and next week's an NFC opponent, this is a big game because you're at home. And there's nothing like being dominant at home, which the Vikings have been in the past, and now they have a chance to do that again this week.
I think an underrated facet, and I chatted pretty extensively early in the show with head coach Leslie Frazier about this. Let me get your comments on this, is our defensive line rotation. Because I remember back in training camp, Jared Allen got loud. He's like, really? I'm coming out of the game. I had 22 sacks last year. But now we've seen him through four games, literally at times miss 3, 4, and 5 consecutive plays. But in the Niners game, we started to see it. Mm-hmm. And in the Lions game, it was as good as you're going to see through the first four, how fresh the defensive linemen are at the ends of games.
Yes, and it's the rotation where guys are coming off the bench and looking good.
Yeah.
But it's also the starters, how good they look at the end of games. And no better example than LaTroy Guyon with 2 sacks against Detroit.
Yeah.
So you have Fred Evans who comes in there and bats a pass down. You have Christian Ballard who's playing well for the Vikings, getting a lot of snaps. You have DeAndre Reed who can get in there in an obvious passing situation and play well. But because those guys can play, you also have starters who look good at the end of the game. Jared Allen and certainly LaTroy Guyon. Another thing is Everson Griffin, just how well he's played. Not only on special teams, which he played well last year on special teams, but defensively. He's been all over the field, gets a huge sack last week against Detroit. He had a huge sack at Indianapolis. We end up losing the game, but it was a big sack at the time. So you're right. That defensive line rotation is doing very well right now. Brendan Dale and Alan Williams talked about that all offseason, and it's working.
Early in the segment, you mentioned Chad Greenway. 55 tackles so far, as good as I've ever seen Chad Greenway play. Your thoughts?
Chad has led the Vikings in tackles the last four seasons, and obviously he's on the way to doing that again with 55 through the first four games.
Yeah.
Every week you look at the stat sheet, it's Chad Greenway, 12 tackles. Chad Greenway, 15 tackles. And the guy is around the ball all the time, and he credits the guys in front of him for playing well. I think a big part of it is Chad knowing where to be and when to be there. And he's off to another solid start, one of the leaders of the team. Everything you could want out of a first-round pick, Chad Greenway.
Do you feel good about our rookies so far? Let's start with Matt Khalil, then we go to Harrison Smith, and after that we have Josh Robinson. Blair Walsh in the sixth round, that's been absolutely fantastic. Robert Blanton debuted last week. Had some really sneaky good moments in that game. What do you think of the rookie so far, Wobby?
Excellent. Robert Blanton downs that punt late in the game. Yep. Key block.
Touched it down.
Yep. Key block on Percy Harvin's return. I think Rhett Ellison has played well. He played a major role in the San Francisco game.
Against Justin Smith.
Yes.
Great take.
You know, something you don't see in the box score, but he was obviously a significant factor. And I was talking to Chad earlier in the week about, what's the key to the Vikings' improved performance pass defense. And he and I talked a lot about Harrison Smith and, and just how well he's played as a first-year player. It's really been phenomenal. And Josh Robinson, you saw him miss a tackle early in the game against Detroit.
Yep.
But he doesn't put his head down and pout the rest of the game. He comes back and played as well as anybody in the second half, had a couple of big plays, and we saw him get the interception against San Francisco. So, so far, so good with our young players.
Wobby, give me your best minute on the Tennessee Titans, offensively and defensively. Go.
Defensively, something that not a lot of people are talking about, they get their middle linebacker back. Kid with the last name of McCarthy.
Colin McCarthy.
Second-year player.
Kane.
He's a Kane. Good player. They get him back. They lost him in week one. And he's going to be back in the middle for that defense, and that makes a huge difference for them because it takes their pass-rushing specialist, that linebacker, Zach Brown. He's not a starter anymore. He can come off the bench like our defensive linemen come off the bench. So that's a huge thing for their defense, the Titans' defense getting their middle linebacker back. Offensively for Tennessee, it, you know, Chris Johnson, great game last week, 141 yards. Got to give him all the credit in the world. The guy is dangerous. Rushed for 2,000 yards in 2009, so the guy's good, no doubt about it. He got a lot of those yards late in the second half, but the guy can still get it done. If the Vikings can be stout against the run and they can pressure Matt Hasselbeck, that crowd will get into it and the Vikings will be on their way to victory.
That's our winning formula. See you tomorrow at Buffalo Wild Wings in Minneapolis. You'll be there about 10:15 to join Paul Charchin and me, okay?
You bet. Look forward to it.
Thank you, Wobby.
See ya.
Mike Wobshaw from Vikings.com. We thank everybody who assisted with this show, including Jay Nelson of the Vikings Entertainment Network, Joe Nelson with The Fan, along with Tim Cobb, and everybody else with the Minnesota Vikings and here at Winter Park. I'm Paul Allen. Thanks for listening. That's Vikings Live from Winter Park on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network.